Soldiers of Christ, that's what we're doing on Sunday nights. It is something that we are going to be doing on Sunday nights for the foreseeable future. There will be a few exceptions. Like the next two Sunday nights, we're going to take a break for Thanksgiving. We know a lot of people will be in and out on Thanksgiving, and we don't want you to miss it. And so for the next two Sunday nights, we will be having some, would you call them regular sermons? I don't know what an irregular sermon would look like. So we're going to have a regular evening worship for the next two Sunday nights and have some sermons as a part of that. And then we'll get back into Soldiers of Christ first Sunday of December. But we're looking to do this for the foreseeable future. We are rapidly, and you might not think it's rapidly, but compared to what we did before, we're rapidly trying to get through the Old Testament so that we can get to the New Testament. We are excited about once we get done with the Old Testament, we're going to start a study of the life of Christ, and we have no intention of going through that rapidly. Once we get to a study of the life of Christ, we're going to slow down the pace, and we're going to digest as much of that as we can. It may take us 2 or 3 years to get through the life of Christ. Don't know. But it's going to be a rich and fun study when we get over there. But right now we're working through the Old Testament, and hopefully you understand what Soldiers of Christ is. If you're a guest here tonight and don't know what it is, then Josiah will be, he keeps volunteering. He will be happy to give you a packet that we're using that has some cards. And the cards are designed in such a way to help us to memorize some Bible facts so that we can know some key things out of the Bible that can help us to build our faith. Build our faith in the Word of God, help us to build our faith in God Himself. And so these key chapters, key locations, these memory verses are things easy for you to go through, easy for you to kind of quiz yourself, test yourself on them. If you're a member and getting one of these things tonight, if you don't have these things, then we can get one for you. We've got some binders that we're happy to get you. And if you've got $5 and want a binder, you can have a permanent kind of home for those kind of things. But what has been diligently working on for the last several months is trying to get some quizzes on our website for you to go and quiz yourself on the Soldiers of Christ material. And that's what it is, just quizzing yourself. Nobody's gonna watch you, nobody's gonna keep track of you, except for God, of course. But it's something for you to be able to go on our website, be able to do, and we're happy tonight to tell you that that is ready to go. Yesterday it went live on our website. You probably don't know it yet because it's not a splash on the front page yet. But up on our website, you may be familiar with our Bible study menu that's right up on the top right when you go to our website. And if you will hover over or click on that Bible study menu, then it's going to drop down a menu that looks like this. And Soldiers of Christ is right up at the top. When you click on Soldiers of Christ right up at the top, it's going to take you to this new page on our site. And if you scroll down, there's a whole lot of information introducing what Soldiers of Christ is to people that don't know it. And most of that information is inside the spiral-bound version of our field manual. These are out on the table. I've got some up here. Well, there's a sample out there on the table. Unfortunately, these are more expensive than we thought. They're $17, but it's the whole thing, all the way through the prophets. That's 170-something pages of material there. But the first few pages are what's going to be here, introducing Soldiers of Christ to people that don't know what it is. But for you to go here, you just need to click on this first thing. It says, all right, I want to do these online quizzes. When you click there, it's going to take you to the next page where it says, okay, who are you? Because you're not enrolled. It says it right there in big red. You are not enrolled. So you got to come over here and click on log in to enroll. When you click on that, it's going to take you to a page where you can register your account. And you decide what your username is. Nobody's looking at you. Nobody's watching this. Nobody on the back end of the website is going to check to see, oh, that's your username? That's silly. Nobody's checking out your password and say, oh, that's a weak password. We don't care what your password. Nobody's looking. This is for you, all right? And so you set up your account, and after you set up your account, you're going to come. This is your main, what they call the course page. This is where your listing of courses is going to be found. But here's what it says. Dear soldier, this is for your own personal growth, and your results will remain, what is that word? anonymous. What does that mean? Nobody's looking. Nobody's watching. So this is just between you and your computer and the hackers that are getting into your computer and Siri and Alexa and everybody else that's watching you. But nobody here at the church is watching you, okay? That's everybody else that's watching you. But you can take the quizzes in any order, and you can take them as many times as you want to go through this. And so as you scroll up this, as you scroll down the page, there's the quizzes for overview of the Bible, which we've covered, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. If I kept going down here, we've even got quizzes on the next set of the books of history that we're going to be passing out in a few weeks. So all you got to do, click on expand, and it's going to show you here's prophet level, priest level, king level on the quizzes. So you just go, you can go in here and take the quiz. It's super fun, super easy to do. There's eight questions on the prophet level, and it just says, what's the theme of the Bible? What's the answer to this, by the way? What's the theme of the Bible? If you had to choose, what's the theme of the Bible? Jesus Christ. So if you say, all right, that's what I want to answer, you come over here and click on check, and it's going to tell you if you got it right or wrong. If you got it wrong, you can't correct it. It's just telling you, you got it wrong. But when you click on check, every time, every question, you got to click on check. Did I get it right or wrong? And then that will change to next, and you go on to the next question. But when you get done, on these first set, on the overview of the Bible, you have to get 100% in order to get a certificate. So if you click on print my certificate, it'll take you to a page. You can print these off and use them as wallpaper in your room, all right? You can print them off and show them to your mom. Look, mom, I've got a certificate and you don't. And challenge your mom. Not with the attitude, all right? Scrub the attitude. But you can challenge your dad. Look, I've got, how many certificates you got, Dad? Look at all my certificates. I've got wallpaper in my room and you don't even have one. With respect. But challenge each other. But with the overview, there's only like eight questions on the overview deals. So you've got to get 100% on those to get a certificate. On the rest of them, you only have to get a 90%. On the rest of them, there's like 60, 70 questions on prophet, priest levels of Genesis, Exodus. But this is fun. You may enjoy some of the, occasionally there are some fun multiple choice options where it might be an obvious, no, that's not the answer, but you might have fun just seeing what are some possible things that you can answer to some of the multiple choice. Not always, but you just got to go through. And sometimes there's some sorting where you put books of the Bible in order and you just drag them and drop them. This works on your computer, works on your tablet, works on your smartphone. Sorry, it doesn't work on your flip phone. We don't have that technology yet. But maybe one day it'll work on your flip phone. You just keep looking at it long enough. But anyway, that's the quizzes on our website, and we hope that you all will make use of those. And again, we'll have no idea if you're making use of them because we're not checking on you. But this keeps up with your progress. And we thought about, and I think I even mentioned before when we were talking about this, that we weren't going to have any login information, that you could just go on and take it without having to create an account. Change that as we went through this for this reason, not to keep up with you, because we're not, but for you to keep up with you. If you didn't have to log in and create an account, then if you went in and took quizzes today and you go back tomorrow, it doesn't save the information. And so just by creating an account, it will show you here's the quizzes you've taken, here's the ones you've completed, and it'll keep track for you as you go through. So hopefully you'll be able to get in, have some fun with that, and take those quizzes, maybe challenge each other. For parents of younger children, we would encourage you, the questions on the prophet cards that are shaded, those are the questions especially for the little kids. Little kids who maybe can't memorize 60 or 70 things on a card, that's what the shaded sections are for on the prophet cards. And we're going to start something in January, probably start a some kind of pew packers class for the kids in January to help them to earn their dog tags that we've talked about before that go along with all of this. But that's what's new. That's what's new with Soldiers of Christ. Okay. Let's finish the book of Numbers really quick. There's two things that I didn't get to in the book of Numbers a couple weeks ago that I want us to finish. Book of Numbers deals with a lot of disobedience from God's people. What did we just see tonight for 1 Corinthians chapter 10? Disobedience, disobedience, disobedience. Guess where most of that was found? Book of Numbers. And so God's people were disobedient. He was going to give them the promised land, and what'd they do? Nope, we're just going to disobey. We're not going to go into the promised land. And so over and over you read about, and it's not just Numbers, you read about it back in the book of Exodus 2. But put the book of Numbers in context. Book of Genesis is about what? The beginning, the creation, beginning of all things. How many years are covered in the book of Genesis? 2,500 years in that one book. What's that dispensation? What's that age called that's the book of Genesis? Patriarchal age lasts 2,500 years. Get the book of Exodus, and we begin a whole new chapter in the relationship with God and His people. And now we're not the patriarchal age, but the book of Exodus begins what age? Mosaic age. How long does that last? 1,500 years, approximately. These are ballpark figures. 1,500 years. Not the book of Exodus, 1,500 years, but from the book of Exodus. And by the way, it's not from Exodus chapter 1. Exodus chapter 1, there's still patriarchal age. It's not until God makes His covenant with His people at Mount Sinai that we begin the Mosaic age, that we begin that law of Moses. And when does it stop? When does the law of Moses end? When was it no longer valid? When Jesus died upon the cross, Hebrews chapter 9 says He brought in a New Testament. So that's about 1,500 years. And then what's that last dispensation called? Christian age. So we got patriarchal, we got Mosaic, we've got the Christian age. So Exodus, they're leaving, they're exiting Egypt. They get to Mount Sinai. How long are they at Mount Sinai? 1 year. They're at Mount Sinai for a year. Why are they there for a whole year? They get the law. What do they have to build? Tabernacle. That takes a while. Don't say they have to build the golden calf. They did build the golden calf, but they didn't have to build the golden calf. Wrong thing to build. They had to build the tabernacle. And so they build the tabernacle, and they are there for a year. And then they leave, and in Numbers chapter 13 and 14, they leave Mount Sinai on their way to the promised land, and when they get there, they decide they're not going to take it. And so they have to go, and where do they spend the next 40 years? In the wilderness. Wandering in the wilderness. Why 40 years? One year for every day that the spies were in the land. 40 days in the land, 40 years in the wilderness. So that's from the middle of the book of Numbers through the end of the book of Numbers. They're wandering in the wilderness. And then finally, towards the end of the book of Numbers, they are making their way back to the promised land. So go to Numbers chapter 20. And this is going to be on your, I'll mention what cards. Look at, and you can look at your priest card for these next couple questions from Numbers chapter 20 and 21. These will be on your priest card. But Numbers chapter 20, the people are complaining because they don't have what? They don't have water to drink. And so they complain to Moses because they don't have water to drink. And so what does Moses do? Moses goes before God. And he says, these complainites are complaining again because we don't have water. What did God tell Moses to do in Numbers 20 about this problem? He says, Moses, go and get your rod from before the Lord and go to the mountain and do what? Speak. Why do I need the rod, Lord? Speak to the rock and water will come forth. Moses gets to the rock. Moses gets to the mountainside. And what does he do instead? He took the rod and he struck the rock. How many times? Twice. Why does the Bible tell us that he struck it twice? Was Moses a little upset apparently with these people? He takes rod. And he takes rod and strikes the rock. That would not be very nice to strike the rock with rod. But he does it twice. And it wasn't very nice because God told him to just speak to the rock. Now, was there another time when Moses did something other than speak to a rock? Exodus 17, he struck it. Why did he strike it then? God told him to strike it then. Why does he strike it in Numbers 20? Because he's angry with the people. Why should I have to do that? And he is upset with them, strikes it twice. And so God doesn't give them any water, right? Incorrect. God still gives the people water. But here's your priest question. prevented Moses entering the promised land? What was the answer to that? Disobeying God by striking the rock. In Numbers chapter, and this is one of your key locations on your priest card, where Moses was not permitted to go into the promised land, Numbers chapter 20 and verse 12. Why is this a key location? Is it important for us to know? Moses, all he did was strike it instead of speak to the rock, and he did not enter the promised land. When I was a kid, I remember that just resonating with me. That's all he did? He did all of these other things. That's all that he did? And he didn't go into the promised land? God means what he says, doesn't he? Says what he means what he says. Did Moses see the promised land? Oh, yeah, he got to see it. Did he ever enter the promised land? Ha, Jackie knows the answer. I was asking a trick question, and Jackie knew the answer. Did he ever enter the promised land? He entered the promised land in Matthew chapter 17. He enters the promised land in the New Testament. Huh? He's dead. Yeah, he's been dead for 1,400 years. How does he enter the promised land when he's dead? On the Mount of Transfiguration. He's in the promised land talking to Jesus. That's a pretty good deal, right? If you couldn't enter the promised land, would you like to go there and talk to Jesus as a dead person? But there was something recognizable about him, wasn't there? How do we know there was something recognizable about him? Because Peter recognized him. I don't know how. I mean, did Peter have a wallet picture? Pull out his wallet. Did he have mug shots? I mean, had he been to the post office? I mean, how does he know what Moses looks like? I don't know. All right, that's way off track. All right, so Moses has some problems in Numbers 20. Go to Numbers chapter 21. What are the people doing again in Numbers chapter 21? Complaining again. No wonder he struck the rock, right? Frustrating dealing with these people. So they're complaining against. Now, look in Numbers chapter 21 in the first couple verses. Who are they complaining against? No, this is down in verse 5. I said first couple verses. This is going to be down in verse 5. Numbers 21, verse 5. Who are they complaining against? God and Moses. They're not just complaining against Moses. They're complaining against God and Moses. And so the Bible says that, verse 5 says, the soul of the people became very discouraged on the way. Why are they discouraged? Because they were making their way to the promised land, and Edom said, nope, you're not going through us. We're not going to let you have passage. And so now they have to go south in order to wrap around back around and go back north. And so they're just frustrated. They had to make a U-turn, and the whole time Waze is just saying, rerouting, 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 and they're like, make a U-turn. And they're like, we're trying to make a U-turn and get back around. And so the whole time they're listening to somebody, backseat driver, saying, well, we should have gone that way to begin with. Anyway, anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody have similar experience? All right, they had it 3,000 years ago. So they're rerouting and finding a new way to get into the promised land. And so verse 5 says the people spoke against who? God and Moses. Why have you brought us out here? And the end of the verse says, our soul loathes this worthless bread. What bread? Manna. How much had they been paying for that manna? Free. How often were they getting that manna? 6 days a week. Were they having to do any work to get the manna? Just go out and collect it all. I mean, hello. And what do they call it? Worthless. If you had been giving a gift to somebody every day for 40 years and they looked you in the face and they said, this is worthless, what would you do? I'd send a bunch of serpents among them. That's what I'd do. I'd follow the example. That's what God did, right? What does God do? He doesn't just send serpents. What kind of serpents? Fiery serpents. We're not going to mess around here. We're not talking about a black snake. We're not talking about a grass snake. We're going to send some fiery serpents among them. Verse 6 says, they bit the people and many of them died. Verse 7, the people, what people? The same people from verse 5 that spoke against Moses and God. Those same people come back in verse 7 and what do they say? We've sinned. Duh. When you get fiery serpents coming among you, you better wake up, right? They said, we have sinned because we have spoken against the Lord and against you. And Moses, please pray to the Lord that he will take away the serpents from us. Is that what you'd be doing? You better believe you would. I don't care how tough you are, Scott. You'd be crying your eyes out, saying, God, get rid of these serpents. Every husband would be there. You know you would. You'd be saying, get rid of these serpents. Lord said to Moses in verse 8, make a fiery serpent, set it on a pole, and it shall be that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, shall live. So Moses made a bronze serpent. He put it on a pole. And so it was, if a serpent had bitten anyone, when he looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. Say what? So I see these serpents are coming, and they bite me. And Moses says, oh, that's okay. Just look up here at this bronze serpent on a pole, and you will live. Moses, I haven't been to medical school. Nope, haven't even stayed at Holiday Inn Express. I don't have a clue what you're talking about, but I just got bit by this fiery serpent, and look at that, and I'm going to live. Nope, doesn't follow. That does not make sense. I am not going to do that, Moses. What's going to happen to that person? They're dead. They're dead. But if somebody was bitten by a serpent, heard what Moses said, believed what Moses said was true, did what Moses said to do, and looked at the serpent, what would happen to them? They would live. Oh, somebody says, that doesn't make sense. You ever heard somebody say, I don't understand baptism. I don't get it. I don't get water. I don't get being buried in water and being brought back up. What does that have to do with being saved? He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. What does baptism have to do with being saved? It has everything to do with what God said to do. The very same God who said, look at that serpent and you will live, is the same God that said, be baptized and you will live. Do I have to be one who can make, and I'm not saying baptism doesn't make sense, but to those people who say it doesn't make sense, okay. But what does God say? Now, does baptism make sense? Yes, when you understand everything that the New Testament would say about it, how it is a death, how it is a burial, how it is a resurrection. Oh, that sounds familiar. What did Jesus do? Died, buried, and was raised again? Oh, it makes a load of sense. But just because I don't get it doesn't mean that it's not real. Does this fiery serpent have anything to do with the New Testament? We're going to close with this. You know John 3:16, right? Turn your Bibles. I know you know the verse. But if you'll turn there, we're going to close. Okay? If you don't turn there, I'm not sure. But if you turn there, we're going to close. John 3:16, you know the verse, right? Do you know the verses right before John 3:16? Bronze serpent. Does that come up anywhere else in the Bible? By the way, when you get in the book of 2 Kings, it comes up again. I'll let you find that. We don't have time to get into it tonight, but the bronze serpent comes up again. I won't even tell you where in 2 Kings, but just look it up, and you'll know the danger of having images and icons and things like that. All right, so John chapter 3, verse 14. What does Jesus say? As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so what? Must the Son of Man be lifted up. Why is Jesus drawing that comparison? Of all the comparisons he could have made, lift up this bronze serpent on a pole and you shall live. Why is he drawing that comparison? Was Jesus going to be lifted up on a pole? On a tree. He's going to be lifted up. Did that bronze serpent provide life to those who were dying? Yes. Verse 15, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. In chapter 12, verse 32, Jesus said, if I am lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all peoples unto myself. Interesting that Jesus draws that illustration from Numbers 21 into the New Testament to say they were saved by obeying what God said with that serpent on the pole. And you can be saved by obeying what God says because of the Son of God who is hanging on that cross. There's a lot of good stuff in the book of Numbers. We're going to take a two-week break Sunday night. We'll have regular Sunday night worship for the next 2 weeks and finish off the book of Deuteronomy in the early part of December. Thank you all for being here tonight.